Do you see that? If you would turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 through 16 will be the text of our lesson tonight. Philippians 3, 10 through 16. It's good to be here with you tonight. I don't have an outline to pass out to you tonight. I did have one, but I left it on the table at home. But if you would check the website later this evening, I'll have it up on the website. And if you haven't, be sure to check out the new website. It's elliottsvillechurch.org. It also now works if you type in elliottsvillechurch.com. It'll work either way. And on the home page, there are links to the latest sermons. We post the audio, the handout, and the PowerPoint now, and it's very easy to step that up. So we're trying to keep it more up to date. So if there's a particular lesson that you would like to send to someone else, there's also links there that if you just click on it, it'll open up an email and automatically puts in your email a link to the lesson. So if there's somebody that you want to share it with through email or Facebook or some other way, it's very easy to do. So be sure to check that out on elliottsvillechurch.org or .com. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 through 16. Paul talks about living a focused life. Read an illustration about a hungry tiger that was tracking the scent of a deer. And as the tiger followed the deer, he came across the scent of a rabbit. So he turned aside and started chasing after the rabbit. Then he was distracted by the scent of a mouse and started following that. He finally came to a hole in which the mouse had vanished, and he ended the day much like it had started, hungry. Hungrier than he was when he had started the day, actually. And that illustrates how many of us spend our lives. Does that illustrate how you spend your life sometimes? That you have been running around, at the end of the day, you don't really feel like you've accomplished a whole lot. We've been distracted with this or that. And when we look back at the day, the week, the year, we may not feel like we've accomplished very much. And in Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 16, we see that Paul is a man that is focused. He has a spiritual focus in his life. Let's read, and we'll make some comments about this passage as we go on tonight. Chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like them in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. And so we notice here the phrase that we've probably heard many times, is that Paul said, this one thing I do. And it shows that Paul had a spiritual focus in his life. He doesn't say, well, these are the 100 things that I do, or these are the dozens of things that I do, and this is mixed in among them. But he says, this is the focus. This is the one thing that I do. He's putting all of his energy and everything about his life is pressing on toward that mark. Put all his energy into that one area. Is that a hard concept for us to grasp? It is for me, I'll be quite honest with you. My life is laden with many projects that have been started and never finished. My work, it has go. I have many things that I've started and haven't finished. And you know, the one thing that I started and haven't finished, I haven't really accomplished anything for anybody because they're still sitting on my desk or they're sitting on my computer in some state of incompleteness. So we get involved sometimes in too many things and we end up doing less than our best with many of them. And I like what Paul has to say when he talks about being spiritually focused in his life. Somebody shared a proverb with me recently that says, he who begins too much accomplishes little. And I'm trying harder in my work at EBSCO to every day focus on getting something finished instead of being so scattered. Sometimes maybe we do have problems being focused. Maybe some of you have problems being focused. I think a study of Paul's life is something that will help us spiritually. And I know it will help me. So we want to look at some things here in this passage, Philippians chapter 3. Several different things that Paul says that he is focused on. The first thing that we notice about Paul is that he is focused on a person. He is focused on an individual. And you don't have to guess hard to know who he's focused on. He's focused on Christ. He is focused on knowing Christ. Let's read verse 10. That I may know Him, may know Christ, and the power of His resurrection, and share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. So Paul understands that knowing Christ is more than just knowing Him, knowing who He is. It includes developing a relationship with Him. He wants to know Christ and he wants to know the power of His resurrection. Of course, Paul already enjoys a special relationship with Christ. Paul had been one that had been specially chosen to carry the gospel to the Gentiles. But he still longed for a deeper and richer knowledge of Jesus Christ that he reflects here when he's talking to the Philippian brethren. He still wants more. He has a relationship. And of course, we know it's a special relationship, but he still wants it to be deeper and richer. He wants to know everything about Jesus. It says that he wants to understand the power of His resurrection. Let's look over at Galatians. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So we see here that Paul understands so much about the relationship that he has with Christ, that he has been crucified with Christ. He's putting to death his flesh. But he still says that I haven't attained. He's still pressing forward. He wants to know more. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, he says, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. So he's not resting on his position from the past. He's not resting on the visions that he has had or the being the special chosen messenger of God. He's still pressing forward and wanting to do better. He wants a constant renewal of strength and power in his spiritual life. He says that he wants to know the fellowship of the suffering. What is fellowship? Fellowship is a joint sharing or participation. And of course, Paul was one that suffered. And Paul is one that fully knows the suffering that Christ went through. Paul wants to share in that. Let's look again at Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 17. He says, from now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Isn't that an interesting passage that sometimes we overlook? I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. It says, that means that he understands the suffering of Christ. That he is somehow sharing in that suffering that Jesus Christ had to take on. Paul was very adept at sharing the gospel of Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, he says, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So you see, time and time again, Paul talks about this relationship and how he can fully share in the suffering of Christ and relates that to others. Paul certainly did suffer for the cause of Christ, and he probably understands it much more clearly than we do, because we have not suffered as Paul did. And Paul, of course, during his ministry, came to understand it more and more clearly as he suffered. Paul knew he was dying to himself, and that's a good thing. Look at some of the phrases that Paul used here. For his desire to know Christ, he had to say these things. He says, that I may know Him. What does that mean? It means that it was something personal. He's using the pronoun I. I may know Him. And he talked about the power of His resurrection. So it's a personal experience. It's a powerful experience. The fellowship of His suffering, I share His sufferings. It's a painful experience. And he also says becoming like Him in His death. It's also something that Paul could see in a practical way in his life. That he was comfortable in taking on that role in his life, even if it meant that Paul would die himself because of sharing in those sufferings. That Paul was comfortable with that. Ethan read for us tonight in Romans chapter 6. And if you paid attention to what Ethan was reading in Romans chapter 6, the emphasis there was Paul telling us about Christ's suffering and the resurrection and our need to conform to His death. And that's the same thing Paul's talking about in Philippians, the need to conform to His death. And Paul had this desire to fully know Christ in all these different ways. Paul looked forward to knowing more and more about Christ. Philippians chapter 3, verse 11 says, If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul looked forward to knowing Christ in the next life as well. Let's look over at John chapter 5 and verse 28 and 29. John 5, 28 and 29. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth, and those that have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. This is the resurrection that Paul had in mind. Paul looked forward to the time when he could know Christ in this way. So Paul was focused on a person. There's no way that you could read the writings of Paul and not realize that he was focused on Christ and Him crucified. Paul was also focused on a prize. Philippians chapter 3 again, verses 12 through 14. Paul was focused on a person of Jesus Christ. He was focused on a prize. Not that I have already attained to this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Jesus Christ has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. So what do we see about Paul? We see that he's humble. Now he's one that certainly would have had some credentials to brag, but that's not what he did. He said that he has not already attained. He's not already perfect. He was not all that he should be. He's not all that he could be. Now if Paul, being who he was, at this point said that he had room to grow. Do you have room to grow? Does Randy have room to grow? Do you? Certainly we do. Certainly I do. Paul can say, I haven't attained yet. I'm not where I should be. I can still get better. I've got room to grow. That's one of the challenges that we see throughout the New Testament, especially in Paul's writings. You know, it's very challenging when you see somebody like Paul make those kind of statements. Because you think, well, they've arrived. He says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into all things into Him who is the head, Christ. He's stating there that when we grow up, who do we become like? We become like Christ. So, you know, that's quite a challenge. We're not going to get to that point. So there's always room to grow.
Paul has the humility that's needed to reach forward to the prize. He has to be humble to continue the race. He also needs to forget the past. How could Paul cope with not being all that he could or should be? He said in verse 13 that I've got to forget all those things which are behind. What did Paul have to forget? Well, we know Paul made mistakes. Paul had a lot of earlier successes. But he said, I'm not resting on those either. But I'm not thinking behind about things that are in the past that I can't change. Many times people will pat themselves on the back as they look back into the past and remember the things that they've done before. But you know, as Christians, there's not any retirement age for us that I'm aware of. There's not any time that we're to say, well, you know, I've done what I need to do, and it's time for the younger people to step in and take the reins, and I'm just going to sit back. No, that's not what we see. We may see that in the secular world, but not in our spiritual life. We're not to rest. We're to keep doing what it is that we can do. Now, it may be that our strength of our physical bodies, it may be the strength of our minds, can't do what they used to do, but we still need to do what we can. Ingrams were here this morning. Both of them weren't feeling good. And I told them that it was such an encouragement to everybody else to see them come through the door. Even if that's all that they could do today, is for them to be an encouragement to everybody else. That was something that they can do. We're not to rest. We're to keep doing what we can do. If Tommy and TJ can keep doing what they can do, we can also. Paul didn't rest on the past. He also forgot about past failures. He admits several times that he was not perfect. He certainly admits here that he's not. I've not laid hold. We don't see Paul spending his time regretting, although certainly we know that he remembered the things that he did, and I'm sure many times brethren brought it up to him. And other brethren had to defend him at times. This isn't the Saul of Tarsus that you used to know. He repented and he moved forward. Many people allow the past to destroy their future, but that's not what Paul did. Don't let the past destroy your present and your future. Move away from it and press on. Repent of those things that separate you from God and put them in the past. Regarding the future, Paul said that progress is needed. When we dwell on the past, we become distracted. We become discouraged. Again, what does he say? Verse 13, I forget those things which are behind. And reaching forth unto those things which are before or which are ahead. Paul's intensity is seen here. He has a great desire to reach his spiritual goal. What was he reaching for? He's reaching for the prize. And we need to do the same in our lives. If Paul had room to grow, if Paul needed to keep working, we need to do the same. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, Paul gives the advice to Timothy in matters of growth. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, Paul tells Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to those who have loved his appearing. You see the change in tone between Philippians and 2 Timothy? As Paul is writing
what are probably his last words. Paul is encouraging Timothy in his words to stay faithful. And Paul said, I've stayed faithful, you need to stay faithful. But Paul's no longer talking about I'm pressing forward. He's saying, this is it for me. He's anticipating his death. He's saying that I've done it. I've lived faithfully. And what a joy to get to the end of your life and be able to say that. Paul was focused on a prize. We can see that throughout his writings to the time that he is anticipating his death when he writes his last words to his faithful brother Timothy. Paul also was not just focused on himself. Now, much of the passage that we've read tonight has been full of pronouns. It's been full of I, me, myself, my, in verses 4 through 15. But in verse 15, he changes and talks about us. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have obtained. So Paul here is showing that he is concerned about his Philippian brethren. He's concerned about us. Paul wants everyone to have the same kind of attitude that he has been describing here. To be focused on spiritual matters. To realize what is important in your life. And I don't believe that there's any passage in the Bible that really tells us, as succinctly as this, that we need to be so focused. Just like Paul is focused. He wants everybody to have that same kind of attitude. He has genuine concern for us and his Philippian brethren. But he also has some correction in there. When he says, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. He said, you need to listen to this. Listen to me, and if you're not believing me, I'm hoping that God will get through to you somehow. We don't need to be immature. We need to have a grasp of God's Word. We need to have a grasp of what's important. And Paul was confident that they should be getting the kind of instruction to make the right and proper decisions. And he wanted those that might dissent, those that might disagree, he wanted them, you all need to learn better. Hold true to what we have attained. So he was concerned. He corrected those that might be going off in another direction. And he tells them in a command, walk by the same rule, have the same mind, to be spiritually united. We need to have a common authority. Let us hold true to what we have obtained. He's talking about following the authority of God. He's talking about following the authority of the words that he's saying. Those words came from the Holy Spirit through him. God's will be plain if the Philippian brethren will listen to what Paul is saying. And it's plain for us if we will listen as well. So Paul was not only focused on himself, he's using himself as an example throughout this passage, but he's focused on his brethren. He's concerned about them and wants them to be focused on things that are going to make their calling and election sure. It's very easy for us to be distracted. Nobody understands that more than I do. But we need to take care of things that are important. There are a lot of different things in our life that compete for our attention. But let's stay focused on the spiritual task that is before us. And if you ever get distracted, just turn back to Philippians chapter 3. And read what Paul has to say. Paul will get us back on track because Paul was on track. Let's follow his example. There are many things that are important in our life, but none are as important as this. None are as important as following Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Let's read the passage one more time and get it firmly in our minds. that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have obtained. Let's stay focused in our lives. If in any way tonight you need to respond to the gospel of Christ, maybe you have not done what Paul is talking about. Perhaps you have not been focused. We need to get refocused on what's important. If we can help you in any way, encourage you in any way, we'd invite you to come while we stand and sing.